Rachel, hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
That's great. Okay, just signing Alina in. Super. Okay, very good.
Gonna mute the microphone.
Ah, it's fine. No problem. But if you want to ask something, just unmute it, okay?
Okay. Okay.
Very good. Okay, let's see what's happening. Oh dear. Why did Alina's fail? Let's call her. That's crazy.
Hello.
Oh, good, you're there. Super.
Hi.
Hello, love. How
I
are you
am.
doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Baruch Hashem. So
Good.
it's you and Roberta. Rachel is carrying on. Susan at the moment doesn't want to.
Great. The only thing is that I'm on a cell phone and my battery is about to die in
Oh
like
no.
24%. So just continue without me, and if I can recharge it in time, I'll come back on the call, and if not, I'll just listen later.
All right, no problem.
Okay,
Okay,
great.
yeah, but
Thank
it's
you.
all right. Yeah, you can't plug it in now, it wouldn't work or something.
I don't have the wall plug with me. I only have the car plug with me because we're in Tel Aviv.
Oh
And
gosh.
we're at someone's house, so I didn't organize that very well. I
Oh,
apologize.
not to worry. Okay. Okay,
Okay.
no problem. All right, never mind. All right, let's hope for the best. Okay, so we're gonna start off with our prayer, and of course today we want to dedicate the shiur to the 6 million, the 6 million of our brothers who were murdered in the Holocaust. Ribbono olamim, v'adonai adonim, avrahaman v'slichot, modim anachnu lefanecha, Adonai Eloheinu v'le'avotenu, v'kidah b'shtachavaya, shekereftanu l'toratcha u'levodatcha v'vodat hakodesh. ונתת לנו חלק בסודות תורתך הקדושה. מה אנו מה חיינו, אשר עשית עמנו חסד גדול כזה. על כן אנחנו מפילים תחנוננו לפניך, שתמחול ותסלח לכל חטאותינו ועוונותינו, ואל יהיו עוונותינו מבדילים בינינו לביניך. וכן יהי רצון לפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו, שתכונן את לבבינו ליראתך ולאהבתך, ותקשיב אוזניך לדברינו אלה, תפתח לבבינו הערל בסודות תורתך, ויהיה לימודנו זה נחת רוח לפני כסא כבודך קרח ניחוח, ותציל עלינו אור מקור נשמתנו בכל בחינתנו, ושיתנוצצו ניצוצות עבודיך הקדושים, אשר לידם גילית דבריך אלה בעולם. וזכותם, וזכות אבותם, וזכות תורתם, ותמימותם וקדושתם, יעמוד לנו, לבל ניכשל בדברים אלו. ובזכותם תאיר עינינו במה שאנו לומדים, כמאמר נעים זמירות ישראל, גל עיני והביטה נפלאות מתורתך. כי אדוני יתן חכמה מפיו, דעת ותבונה, יהיו לו רצון עמי פיו, יגון לבי לפניך, אדוני צורי וגואלי. Master of the universe, and Lord of lords, Father of mercy and of forgiveness, we give thanks to you, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, by bowing the head and prostrating ourselves, that you have brought us close to your Torah and to your holy service, and you have given us a portion in the inner meanings of your holy Torah. What are we and what is our life, that you have done such a great kindness with us as this? And therefore we lay our supplication before you, that you should forgive and pardon our sins and our iniquities, and they should not cause separation between us and you. And may it be your will, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, that you prepare our hearts to have awe of you and love of you, and that your ears should listen to these words and open our hearts in the secrets of your Torah. And may this learning give pleasure before your holy throne as a sweet-smelling smell. And you should bestow upon us the light of the source of our soul in us, and that the sparks of your holy sparks of your servants through whom you revealed these your words to us in the world, and may their merit and the merit of their fathers and the merit of their Torah and their innocence and their holiness stand by us, that we should not stumble in these words. And through their merit enlighten our eyes in what we are learning. As the sweet singer of Israel said, Reveal to my eyes, and I will look on the wonders of your law. For the Lord will give wisdom in his mouth, and knowledge and understanding. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be ever acceptable before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And that's the prayer of the Ari.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So I sent along like another, the latest translation, which I added on paragraph 21. I did it last night. I just put it in the same material. So I put it page numbers on it. So we had in fact learnt before Pesach, actually before Purim, to the end of paragraph 18. And I think we just begun paragraph 19. So just a quick revision, just to remind us where we are. We saw in the Garden of Eden that Eve ate from the tree of knowledge in real desire to do good. She didn't have any desire for evil. She didn't have any desire to do evil, but she understood something from what the snake had said, which was that by eating from the tree of knowledge, for the sake of giving, she would actually correct the whole of the creation. She would, in fact, be fulfilling God's ultimate purpose, because ultimately there can be nothing evil in what God created. Where she got misled by the snake was he said that you won't come into separation. You won't die. So the snake told her a truth and told her a lie. And this is what Rav Ashlag says. He says that whenever there is a lie, for it to be believed, it has to have some truth in it. And so she ate, and Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, which they had been expressly forbidden to do so. And there were consequences. And in fact, what they found was having eaten the first time, and they ate the first time in perfect holiness for the sake of giving goodness to God. Nevertheless, it overwhelmed them with a will to receive for themselves alone. And the sages said, and then man said, I ate and I will eat again. He was unable to separate himself from this tremendous appetite for knowledge, for receiving, that overwhelmed them, and they fell into the framework of uncleanness, which is the framework of receiving for oneself alone. And this is more or less where we got up to. And there were, in fact, two damaging consequences of what happened. And this is what the sage said. So we're up to paragraph 19, okay? And then we're going to read first the Hebrew, and then you can either read in the English, and I'm going to translate as well. Okay? So I've got the Hebrew in front of me. So, paragraph 19. V'haynu sh'amru zichronam livracha. Wait a minute, let me just check that this is recording properly, because Elena's going to need it, and Francesca as well. Yeah, it's recording fine. Okay, that's recording fine. Okay. And this is what the sages have said. This is the Yetzer Hara. This is the Satan. Sorry. V'zehayinu sh'amu zichronam livracha. Hu ha-Yetzer Hara. Hu ha-Satan. Hu malach ha-mavet. Shiyored u-meisit. V'ole u-mekatreg. U-ba v'notel nishmato. This is the Yetzer Hara. This is the Satan. This is the Malach HaMavet, who goes down and seduces and goes up and accuses and comes and takes his life, his soul. V'hu kishnei kukulim kolelim nasu b'sibat ha'chet shel Eitz HaDaat. And this is that two overall damaging consequences happened as a consequence of the sin of the Tree of Knowledge. Kilkul harishon hu inyan oleh umekatreg. The first consequence is described in the Gemara as goes up and accuses. Ki achar shenitpatech v'achal me'etz hadat, v'kana b'vinyan gufo klei kabbalat halal panoi, nasta mechamat ze sin'a v'harchaka bein or ha'im ha'nitzchi, denafach Hashem ba'apo shel adam u'bein guf adam. For once he had been enticed and eaten from the tree of knowledge and acquired in the structure of his body a vessel of receiving of the empty space, which is like the huge vessel of receiving just for himself alone. There came about, because of this, tremendous hatred and distance between the light of eternal life, which God had breathed into the nostrils of man, and his body. And this is exactly similar to what the sages have said. Kol hamitga'eh omei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein ani v'hu yucholin lador b'mador echad. For anybody who is proud, says the Holy Blessed One, I and he can't dwell in the same dwelling. Now, this is really interesting. Out of all our wills to receive for ourselves alone, the one that the sages pick out here as causing separation between ourselves and God is pride. Pride is a killer diller when it comes to connection with God. If we think about Moshe Rabbeinu was achi anav mikol adam, was the most humble of man. Pride and humility are two opposites. Now, what does pride mean? Pride means I'm full of myself. I know I am, I know, I think. It's like the I is like fills up all of space. Okay? Like there isn't any room for God to come in. Because it's just a man who's full of pride is just like filled with himself. Moshe Rabbeinu, when we think about Moshe Rabbeinu, we can learn a lot. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is talking, it's like he knows, God tells him go up the mountain. He goes up the mountain. He doesn't say, who am I that I should go up the mountain? He said, but he knows that everything that is in him, everything that he has only comes from God. That of himself he has nothing. So he's totally open. So pride is this feeling of being closed. All right? God can't come in there. Humility is this openness to God. This openness, this ability to be open to what is. Okay? So he says, whoever is proud, says the Holy Blessed One, I and he can't live in the same dwelling. For the issue of pride stems from the vessel of receiving of the Chalal HaPanoi, that primal vessel of receiving which was created at the very beginning in the Ein Sof. From which the highest light has already distanced itself and some from the time of the Tzimtzum and onwards. Okay. There's no openness to God in pride. V'aldech shekatuv b'zohar ha-kadosh, in the way that the Zohar, Holy Zohar writes, shekadosh baruch hu sonet gufot shebinyanam ach latzmam, that the Holy Blessed One hates. Now the Hebrew is the bodies whose structure is only for themselves. Now, by the body, the Kabbalah does not actually usually refer just to the physical body. The word body means the will to receive for itself alone. And it's better translated in our language, modern language, by the ego. Okay? So, because the physical body can be, if you've got, for example, a tzaddik who is totally in connection with God. Yeah, sure, he's got a physical body. I mean, he has to be in this world. Okay? But he's using his physical body as a vehicle for good. Like ourselves. You know, we clean for Pesach. That's using our physical body for a vehicle for good. All right? So in that sense, the guf is just a temple. It's just a clothing for the ego or for the soul or for both, usually both, you know, like we have both inside of us. So when he says God hates the bodies, it means God really referring to the ego, which is very often in the language of the Kabbalah called the guf. Okay. So God hates the bodies, which is the ego, whose structure is only for themselves, which is only being used for themselves alone. V'alken parach mimenu or chayim. And therefore, the light of eternal life just flew away from him, just flew away from Adam. V'hu kilkul harishon. And this is the first negative consequence, the first bad consequence, the first damaging consequence that happened. So the first damaging consequence is that eternal life, the eternal connection with God, has left man. You see, when man was in the Garden of Eden, he didn't worry about whether he was in connection with God or not in connection with God. He just was. He was always in connection with God. There was nothing to separate him from God. He was with the light of God in total connection. Didn't have moments of yes and moments of no like we have. He was like in connection totally all the time. And that's Or Chaim, because Chaim in the Kabbalah means a living connection with the source of all our spiritual life, with the source of God, with the source of all life. And that's left him. Okay? And that's that eternal soul, that eternal connection with God has left him. The kilkul sheni, and the second damaging consequence, hu yiridat rapach nitzotzin. Now, is the descent of the 288 sparks of light which came into reality following the breaking of the vessels, shekvar hayu mechuborim b'marechet hakdusha, kanal, which we have already learnt in the previous lessons, that had already been rejoined into the framework of holiness, and they were there in the Garden of Eden to sustain the framework of holiness. Kanal, sha'ata, that now, kedei shelo yecharev ha'olam, nimsuru v'yardu l'marechet ha'sitra achav ha'klipot. And that in order that the world will not be destroyed, we're now handed over and given down and descended into the framework of uncleanness and the klipot. כי מאחר שאין מערכת הקדושה יכולה לפרנס ולקלקל את האדם ובני עולם, מסיבת השנאה שנתהוותה בין הקדושה והכלים דחלל הפנוי, כחוק ההפכים זה לזה כנל, שאין אני והוא יכולים לדור במדור אחד, על כן נמסרו הרפח ניצצין למערכות הסיטרא אחרא, שהי כדי שהם יקלקלו ויקיימו את האדם והעולם. בכל משך זמן גיגולי הנשמות מהגופים ב-60 ריבו לדור וב-1,000 דור עד גמר התיקון. For now, for since the framework of holiness can no longer give sustenance and sustain man and the children of the world, because of the hatred that has come about between the holiness and the vessels of the Chalal HaPanoi, because they are complete opposites, and opposites in spirituality are distant from each other. As we said above, I and he can't live in the same dwelling. Therefore, these 288 sparks of goodness, of light of God, were handed over to the framework of the Sitra Achra, so that they should sustain and give sustenance to man and the world throughout the time of the reincarnation of the souls in the bodies for the 600,000 for 600,000 souls to each generation and for 1,000th generation until the end of the Tikkun. So now what's happened is that the sparks of light, of goodness, of God's light, have been handed over into the framework of consciousness of the will to receive for itself alone. And we can see this in reality. We can see this in reality. We see this in reality. We see that good people struggle to make a living, and people who are unscrupulous have thousands and millions. We see people in the world who have huge, vast sums of money, and we see whole countries in desperate poverty. We see, you know, it's just like the evil gaining sometimes, gaining victories, where the holy, like on today when we remember the Holocaust. I mean, if that's not giving power to the wicked, I don't know what it is. So we see that this, in fact, definitely happened. Okay. Okay. Ubeze tavin. Lama hem mukhunim b'shem klipot. להיות ערכם כערך הקליפה שעל הפרי, כי הקליפה הקשה הופפת ומחסה על הפרי, לשומו מכל תינוף והזק, עד שיבוא הפרי לידי האוכלו, שבלעדה היה הפרי נשחט, ולא היה בא למטרתו. And in this you can understand why these lights, which are given to the Sitra Achra, are called by the name of klipot, which is the inner meaning, which means shells, like, you know, like the hard shell of a fruit, he says. It's because they are really like the hard shell of a fruit. For the hard shell surrounds and covers a fruit to keep it from any dirt and damage until the fruit can come to being eaten. That without that shell, the tree would be destroyed and would not come to its purpose. In the same way, כן אתה מוצא אשר הפח ניצוצין נמסרו לידי הקליפות. The 288 sparks of light were handed over to the קליפות of the Sitra Achra כדי לחלקל ולהכשיר את המציאות, in order to give a sustenance and to maintain and befit reality, עד שיתחברו ויעשיגו למטרתם הנרצה, until the souls actually do their work of tikkun and rejoin and attain their purpose, which is desired, their desired purpose, as we've said above. So we have a situation where the klipot are given over to the Sitra Achra in order to maintain reality so that people can grow and develop and live and die and learn what they want, what they don't want, what they choose good or they, or God forbid, choose evil, and to finally come to choose the good. Okay, gilgul achrei gilgul, it's like choice after choice, like all the time making the choices and trying to come to the choice of good. And we do this through the wisdom of Torah and Mitzvot, that through Torah and Mitzvot we come to again and again try to make the choice for good. Okay. And in all this time, reality has to be maintained in order, first of all, to give us choice, and secondly, to actually physically maintain it, okay, so that we have the time we need to learn and do and choose until a person comes to do his true purpose of letting go of the evil, letting go of the negative, and come to choose the good. And this is not at all easy, as all of us know in our own lives. We all start off with our wills to receive for ourselves alone. We start off with our egos, and then we go through different experiences. And slowly, slowly, we learn Torah and mitzvot, and we hopefully get guided by them. And we also suffer different experiences of difficulty in our lives. And we begin to understand that the more we act from our ego space, it ultimately doesn't help us. But it's difficult to get there. I do feel that as a society, Israel in this sense is growing up and is coming more and more to see that this is the case. I see marvelous examples of this in the society around us. People are amazing. People are just amazing how people are choosing good, choosing giving in practice. I mean, I'll just give one example. When my boys were at school, my boys are older than my girls, they did not do voluntary work. It wasn't even thought of, really. Now, there is part of the bagrut, part of the school certificate here in Israel, is that the kids have to do 95 hours of voluntary work in the community in order to get their school certificate, in order to get the graduation. That is amazing. It means that every single child in Israel now has the opportunity to get experience in voluntary work before they leave school. This is phenomenal. It's going to be the biggest tool to change society. I really feel this
is incredible.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to hear that, because especially since Army Service is volunteer, so this is like another layer, but it's amazing, really amazing.
It's really amazing. I mean, the children in Yud Aleph and Yud Bet, actually, I think it begins in Yud, in Kita Yud. They do voluntary service. They have to do something like 95 hours. I'm not sure if it's 95 hours a year or 95 hours in total. I can't remember. But anyhow, so my daughter, she did the first year, she did tutoring a Haredi girl, who comes from a family who weren't particularly able to help her with her schoolwork, but a kind of bright girl anyhow, and just helping her getting the self-confidence that she could manage, that she could do her work and succeed at school. And she was in Kita Dalet, I think, in fourth grade. And my daughter, helped her for a year. And at the end of the year, she said to me, "Mom, I really feel that I've done it. And actually, the best thing I can do now for Rachel is to let go. And she needs to know now that she can manage without me." So then it took her a while to cast around to find something else to do. And now she's volunteering with the B'nai Menashe children in Tzfat. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a group of Olim who come from North India. They kind of look kind of like Nepalese or Tibetan kind of look to them. They're a tribe who are being identified as being one of the lost tribes or whatever. Anyhow, a lost section of Jews who come from northern India, and they are now in Tzfat. There's a group in Tzfat, and they're also in Bocha's school in Meiron. And she goes every week and works in a sort of club that's been set up for the children after school, again, to help them with language and help them with games and help them with integration and homework and stuff like that. And she was part of a kaitana that they did for them in the summer. And it's great because it gives bracha. I can see my daughter getting so much self-confidence and ability and self-esteem, knowing that she can give something to somebody, that she's got something to give. And it's just beautiful. And all the children, a whole of Israel, religious and secular alike, all have to do voluntary work. Is that amazing? I'm just like, thank God, you know, this is amazing. Yeah, and I mean, Shirut Lumi or Army is pretty well voluntary because they don't get much money for it. I think they're going to put their salaries up a wee bit though, so it's not going to be it's not quite as voluntary as it was, but still, it's still pretty voluntary. So we can see, you know, the force in society of change, and that is the required purpose. And until we get to that required purpose, then these sparks of light are needed to be actually in the framework of uncleanness to maintain reality until we can come to that purpose. So that is, Baruch Hashem, good news. Okay, now the second damaging consequence, v'hinei kilkul ha'sheni ha'nizkar hu'inyan u'bato. Ratzoni lomar. Oh, the second damaging consequence that we mentioned is the issue, he comes and takes his soul. I want to say, gam ze ha'chelek ha'katan shel neshama nishalu le'adam b'vchina ze'a shel ha'chaim ha'kodmim. How I sit you achar oshkato al yedei ota ha'shpa'a b'atzma. It comes and takes his soul. What I want to say is also this little portion of soul which has been left to man in the aspect of a little sweat drop of his previous life, even that, the Sitra Achra comes and oppresses it through that same giving, which it gives it from the 288 sparks which fell to its lot. Oh, this is such a, you know, even though we know in our mind that giving is better than receiving, okay, nevertheless, it's so hard for us to let go of receiving. And why is it? Because there is light. Only a little bit of light, but there is these 88 sparks of light which were given to the framework of evil in order to sustain reality, actually entice the soul, okay, into receiving. If there was no pleasure in selfish ego, nobody would even bother with it. But there is pleasure there. Let's say somebody's annoyed you, okay? And you lose your temper and you tell them what you think, okay? There's a kind of instant power there. There's a kind of feeling of, yay, I can say it, I'm me. There's a sort of power in there. If there was no power there, if there was no kind of pleasure in that, nobody would ever shout. Okay? It's too much energy. But they do. Why? Because there's a sort of a pleasure in that. If there wasn't the idea that by working more and more and more and taking more and more and more, I'm going to somehow gain something, I'm going to gain materials, I'm going to gain pleasure from it, nobody would even bother to do work more and more and more and gain more and more. Okay? It's because of the light that's hidden in there. It actually oppresses us and forces us to choose that will to receive for ourselves alone, even when we know with our brain that might damage us. And this is what it says. Ulavincha et ze, tzrich letzeh heitev tumunat ha-sitra acha kamot shehi. And in order to help you understand this, we need to describe well the picture of the sitra acha as it is. Bichdei shetuchal laskil kol darkeha. In order that you can understand all her ways. Ukva hareti ladat be panim yirot umas birot. That's inside the book. This is the inside the book that this is the introduction of. The kol chalkem etziut meolam atachton hem anafim nimshachim mishusham kmo chotam mechotam meolam elyon veelyon migavoa himenu vagavoa migavoa agavho vuchule. So, and in order to help you understand this, you need to imagine well, or describe to you well, the picture of the Sitra Acha just the way it is, so that you can understand all its ways. And I've already taught you inside the book that all portions of reality which are in this lower world are branches which are drawn from their root, like what is stamped from the seal and from the higher world, and from the higher world which is higher than that, and from the higher world which is higher than that, and so on and so forth. V'teida shekol hefchen sheyesh me'anafim al ha'shorshim hu rak b'sodot ha'chomer shebehem levad. כלומר, שחומרים שבעולם הזה הם יסודות גשמיים, וחומרים שבעולם היצירה הם יסודות רוחניים. טענו מבחינת מוכניות היצירה. So you should know that only the foundations of material which are in them alone, that is, the foundations of material which in the in this world are the physical foundations, whereas the materials in the higher world of the Olam HaYetzirah are spiritual foundations. That is, on the aspect of spiritual foundations. V'ken kol olam v'olam mibchinato, and so forth regarding every world in its way. Omnam ha'mikrim v'taluchot shebehem yesh lehem erech shaveh. But the actual happenings and the processes which are in them are in fact equal. Mikol anaf l'shorsho, from every branch to its root, k'mo shnei tipot mayim hashavot zo lezeh, like two drops of water which are completely equivalent. U'k'mo ha'nechtam sheshaveh tzuotzo b'kol, b'kol l'achotem shemimenu nechtam, like a seal, a stamp which is equivalent in its form to sift it. V'achash teida zeh nevakesh et zeh anaf sheyeshno la'sitra ha'elyona ba'olam hazeh. Now you know this, we can look at the branch of the sitra achra and the high sitra achra which is in this world. V'az neida al yado gam et shosho sitra achra elyona. And through this we can know the root of the sitra achra elyona. So what does he say by this rather complicated sentence? What he's saying is that everything in this world comes from the higher worlds. And if you say, well, look, you know, this world is kind of physical. You know, I can touch it. I got a table I can touch. I got a book. It's material. I got things I can see. You know, the physicality. He says the actual material from which the worlds are made up of differs. So the material of this world is a physical material. Whereas the material of the spiritual world of Yetzirah, which is the one directly above us, is a spiritual material. But processes and relationships which are in this physical world are identical to processes and relationships which are in the spiritual worlds, whether it's Olam HaYetzirah or the Olam HaBriah or the Olam HaTzilut or whichever world it is, higher and higher and higher. Okay? And exactly in the same way, like a stamp is to its seal. Now, you know these old-fashioned, you know, seal stamp things. I think, you can still get them, you know, like things which you stamp on a ink pad, okay? So if you have the seal, it's got a form or it's got writing on it, and you stamp it onto the ink, okay? And then you can stamp it onto the paper, and you see the exact form of whatever was on the stamp onto the paper, okay? Now, the material of the stamp and the material of the picture that comes out of it is a different material. One is three-dimensional and one is two-dimensional. Okay, but whatever's on the seal will be seen on the stamp on the paper. Okay, and that's what he means, that the worlds are like seals and stamps. You got it? I might have got my English a little muddled up there. Okay. So he says, by looking at how the Sitra Achra appears in this world, we can understand how it arises in the higher worlds as well, because the processes and relationships are the same, even though the physical realization of it can be different, because the material is different, but the relationships and processes are the same. ומצאנו בזוהר הקדוש פרשת תזויה שהנגעים שבגופי בני אדם הם הענפים של הסיטראח העליונה עין שמיטב. And we found in the Holy Zohar, Parshat Tezriya, that the diseases in people's bodies are branches of the higher spirit Sitra Achra, Ayin Sham Eitev. And Lefichach Nikach Laskit HaBaal Chai. And therefore we can take the level of the animal v'anu motzim bo asher zeh hanaviah hamitave begufo al yedei hasagat ha'tanug hu hamarbe u'mafre lo ha'chayim. We find that that which flows and gives in the body through attaining pleasure is what actually gives, multiplies and gives fruitfulness to life. ועל כן ההשגחה תצביע בקטנים, שבכל מקום שיתנו עיניהם ימצאו קורת רוח ותענוג, ואפילו בדברים קטנטנים של מה בכך. And so therefore, the divine providence has stamped in the smallest creatures that wherever they look, they will find pleasure and joy, even in the smallest possible things. להיות קומת הקטן המחויבת לביאה של חיים ביותר, since the list of animals needs the most fruitfulness of life, כדי שיהיה סיפוק בו לצמיחה וגידול, in order that it should find satisfaction in growing and multiplying. Valkentanu gam matsui, and therefore their joy is, their pleasure is found. Vehin hamotzer she'or ha'tanug hu avi ha'chayim, and thus you find that the light of pleasure is the father of life. Omnam chok ze eino noheg zulat b'tanug shumushpa leklalut ha'koma, but this rule that pleasure is the father of life only applies when the joy is given out to the whole of the koma. Now, koma is level of reality together. We'll understand what this means in a minute. Aval b'tanug d'piruda, but regarding joy of separation, כלומר שהתענוג מתקבץ מקובל רק לחלק נבדל של קומת הבעל חי, but if the joy is given only to a certain part of the particular level of the animal, אז אנו מוצאים בו דין הפוך, then we find an opposite rule. For example, if you take an animal who's got a defect on his flesh, hatoveh oto legared ulchakech, which makes it want to scratch and rub itself, v'nei pulat chikuch mevielo gam kein scharo betzida. The rubbing itself and scratching causes its own reward. שמרגיש עם התענוג מרובה ברטיפה גבירה, that on the one hand, he feels tremendous pleasure, tremendous, like he wants to keep doing it. אמנם בתענוג זה טיפת סם המוות כרוך בעקבו. But in this pleasure, you've got a drop of death, drug of death, in its latter end. שבאם לא ימשול לצול, that if he doesn't overcome his temptation, וישלם את התביעה הרדופה, and he pays the desire and that he all the time wants to keep fulfilling his desire of scratching. נמצאים התשלומים מגדילים עוד את חובו. We find that giving in to his desire to scratch only is going to worsen his problem. כלומר, לפי מידתו של השגת התענוג מהחיכוך, according to the measure of attaining pleasure from the friction, kentitrabeh alav halakuta. So the wound is going to get worse. V'itapech ha'tanug l'machov, and then the joy is going to turn into pain. U'pahatchila shuv litrapot. And at the beginning, when it again starts to heal over, again you get a new desire to rub it. But in a greater measure than before. And if he still doesn't overcome his yetzer, and again he pays the demand, the sore is going to go and get worse and worse. Until it brings him a drop of bitterness in its end, until it poisons all the blood in the animal, and then he dies through receiving pleasure. Because it's the joy of separation, which is received only by one a separate portion of the whole stage. And therefore the death operates in that stage in an opposite way than joy, which is given to the whole stage together, as we've said. Now, in order to understand this, we need to understand a little bit by what it means by klala kuma. If we take human beings, okay, if something is of benefit to the whole of humanity as a whole, then that is a true benefit, which is the father of life. Okay? But if something is of benefit to only part of humanity, that pleasure comes to only one section of humanity, and everybody else can jolly well suffer, then that is the pleasure of separation. Okay? And he likens this to an animal, okay? So the animal's got a sore on his skin, all right? Now, if he scratches that sore, okay, then that area on his skin feels better for the moment. You know, it's like it's itching. Oh, what a relief, scratched, lovely, okay? But it's not doing good to the whole of the animal. Okay? It's just doing good, what he feels is good. It's just getting pleasure from that one little bit. All right? And if he gets enticed and he doesn't, refrain from that, then that itch is going to eventually make an ulcer, and the ulcer is going to make an abscess, and finally, it's going to poison the whole animal. All right, and this is exactly what we see in the human community. If you take nuclear power, for example, nuclear power is such a good example of this. On the one hand, yes, it's got benefits because it provides the rich with plenty of electricity. Okay, but at the same time, causes pollution and consequences for other people, whether there are children coming after us, in the sense that we don't know what to do with nuclear waste, or the potential of damage to other people in the case of a nuclear accident, God forbid, then you can see that it is, in fact, the pleasure of separation. It's not benefiting the whole of humanity. And when people just like go for this is good for me and I don't care about everybody else around me, they get a certain pleasure from that to start off with. But ultimately it causes the disconnection between them and God. It's an amazing understanding of sorting out what's right and what's wrong. Okay, because it's true. It is so confusing. The world is so confusing. So often we don't know what is good and what is bad. And if I say, well, this is good for me, and then I look around myself and say, well, it's good for me, but it's not good for everybody else, then that's a sure sign that what I'm doing is actually not good. If it's good for me and I can say, well, it's good for me and it's giving benefit to others, then that's like a more of a positive sign for me. That's a good thing, you know? So we can use that guideline as a way to move forwards in our lives. One of the most beautiful examples that I love to think about Am Yisrael is, you know, for example, drip irrigation. Israel has not kept its incredible ideas of advancing technology which can help other people to itself. And so many countries in Africa and all over Asia, all over the place, are now benefiting from water technology which has been developed in Israel. And this is obviously incredible life-giving goodness that people can now grow crops where crops were not able to grow because they can now regulate the amount of water needed, which is to a much, much, much smaller amount, which is very, very, very accurate, and therefore grow crops and give life in a way which wasn't possible before. And this is like pleasure being the father of life, as opposed to the pleasure being the father of separation. So when you have a technology which is life-giving and goes out to everyone, then that is a pleasure which gives life, as we spoke about earlier. Or you can have, God forbid, something like nuclear power, which is a technology which definitely is problematic because it only gives pleasure to a certain portion and at the same time has tremendous potential for damage to other portions of humanity, which ultimately is devastating. So here we can see how he defines pleasure of the sitra achra, that it's like an ulcer on the skin of an animal, which if he scratches it, it can ultimately cause the animal's death, even though he gets pleasure from the scratching at the moment. And he goes on to say, V'hine higia lefaneinu, צורת הסיטרה אחר העליונה מראשה עד עקבה, אשר ראשה הוא רצון לקבל אך לעצמה ולא להשפיע מחוץ לה בתכונת התביעה שבבשה המנוגה בערך כללו של קומת החי. וגופה של הסיטרה אחר היא צורתה של מין תביעה שאינה עומדת להיפרע, שפירעון שהוא הולך ופורא עוד מגדיל החוב הלקוט ביותר, כדוגמת קבלת תענוג על ידי החיכוך כנל. And so now we can see before us the form of the higher sitra achra from its beginning to its end. That its beginning is the will to receive only for itself alone and not wanting to give anything outside itself. And this is just like the demand of the wounded flesh, which is with respect to the generality of the whole animal. And the essence of the sitra achra is like the form of this demand, which cannot be satisfied. But on the contrary, the demand just goes and gets worse until it increases the debt and the wound even more. Just like receiving the joy through the scratching, as we said above. V'ikva shel sitra achra hu hatipa shel sama mavet. And the end, like the latter end of the sitra achra, is the receiving the drop of the drug of death. She'oshkato mafridato gam minotzot hachaim acharon shenishalo, which oppresses the person and separates him even from that spark, that last spark of life which was left to him. Kudugmat tipasha sama mavet anal, hamarelet et kol adam shebekomat habaal chai, which, like the drop of the drug of death, which poisons all the blood in the stature of the in the animal. V'hainu shamu zichonam livracha, and this is what the sages said. Levasof ba v'notelet nishmato. In the end, he comes and takes his soul canal. V'hainu shamu shamalach hamavet mizdamen bechev shlufa v'tipa shel mara bekatzeh acherev. That is, the sages said that the angel of death is waiting with a drawn sword, with a drop of bitterness at the end of the sword. V'adam potech piv v'zorek bo atipa. And the man opens his mouth and the angel of death throws into him that drop of a mate, and he dies. Asher chavo shel malach hamavet yashpata sitra achra. And the sword of the angel of death is the giving of the sitra achra, shenikra cherev, which is called a sword. L'sibata pivota mitgadol b'midat ha-kabbalah, because it causes the separation, which just gets bigger and bigger in the virtue of receiving, shapirud machrivo, and the separation destroys him. Kanal v'adam potech bechachet piv, and the person of necessity opens his mouth, yotshimuchach lekabel shefa kiyum b'amdato mitachad yadeh, because if he's connecting with his will to receive for himself alone, he simply has to get his bounty of his existence from its hands. Until he gets the drop of bitterness which is at the end of the sword, which is the finishing of the separation in the last spark of the soul of his life, canal, as we have said. Wow. Baruch Hashem. We did the whole of paragraph 19. Okay.
Great.
That is incredible. We did it just in the right, in the same 1 hour. Amazing. Perfect timing. Rachel, was that good for you?
Perfect.
Fantastic.
I need your address.
My address. Okay, I'll send it to you. Do you want me to send it to you on an email or tell it to you? What do you need?
You can give it to me right now. I'm writing it on the envelope.
Brilliant. Okay. So my address is Kiryat Sarah number 3. So you spell it K-I-R-Y-A-T.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Then Sarah, Kiryat S-A-R-A.
Uh-huh.
Number 3. Post Office Box 2586.
Okay.
Harkanan. Tzfat. And I stick the mikud on it. Not that it makes much difference, I don't think. 133-0000.
I think it does matter.
Okay. Stick it on.
I got it. Okay, great.
Thanks so
much. Okay. Thank you. So I won't be here for 2 weeks.
I know. I'm going to miss you. But next week's Yom HaTzmaut anyhow.
What?
Yom HaTzmaut. Next week's Yom HaTzmaut. So nobody will be here next week.
Okay, good. So just 1 week then.
Just one week, yeah. Perfect.
Okay, thank you. Kol tov, bye.
Kol tov, bye then.